Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 11. I invite you to stand. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon from Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 45. Again, the word of the living God. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Almighty God, we come to you through Jesus Christ, and we ask that you give us grace to not only be hearers, but doers of thy holy word. Not only to admire, but to obey thy doctrine. Not only to profess, but to practice thy religion. Not only to love, but to live the gospel. So grant that what we learn of your glory we may receive into our hearts and show forth in our lives. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. A number of years ago, when I was a little fella, our family took a drive from our hometown of Lake Havasu City, Arizona, across the desert to Southern California. We did this to visit my father's brother, my uncle, his wife, our aunt, and their three children. They lived in Port Hueneme, California. Our family had moved from Chicago to Arizona in 1970, and we lived in the desert. My uncle, aunt, and our cousins, they lived on the beach. One day, in the late afternoon or early evening, our three cousins and the four of us, my sisters, my brother, me, the parents, we took a walk along the sandy cliffs of one particular beach. We were warned about getting too close to the edge. These cliffs were rather high, at least to little people. And this wall of sand and ground overlooked the motion and the roar of the Pacific Ocean. This was exciting. We had been warned about walking too close to the edge. Our cousins lived there. They had been to this place many times. They were local, and this was familiar. On the other hand, we, now desert dwellers, were encountering something new, the vastness of the ocean, the surge and the spray and the sound of the waves, the sight of the lowering, setting western sun, the salty smell, the crisp temperatures, vastly cooler than the arid warmth of our Arizona home. We were on our way to the beach to run and to walk and to search for little sand crabs, seashells, sand dollars, and to experience something that my aunt called red tide, which was to occur later in the evening. We wanted to see the glowing sand. However, we took this detour. We walked the heights of this embankment, and we had been warned about getting too close to the edge. The experience was great. The sights were amazing. The event has been etched in my memory now over 50 years. We were glad to be together, to explore, to experience. Have you ever found yourself in a good place, in an exciting place, with wonderful experiences, and then things change? Ever? Well, according to my hazy and precise recollection, one of my sisters did walk a bit too close to the edge, and the ground gave way. The wall of sand dropped away, and so did my sister. The sand and my sister were embraced by gravity. The creation was working as intended. She was there walking along the way, and then, poof, gone. I'm sure that my cousins, those who were walking closest to my sister, held their collective breath, not nearly as breathless, I am sure, as my descending sister would have been, but breathing certainly changed, as did heartbeats, as did our walk, as did this experience, this event, a glorious event, now changed into one of concern, especially for my sister. Thankfully, that situation turned out very well. No injuries and plenty of amazement. She landed upon the beach, engulfed in the sand that had descended, now settling around her up to her neck. Fathers hollered, cousins ran, all became wobbly. My sister was just fine, and we all wondered just how, except for the grace of God. That event was marked by so much good, so much that was glorious, so much that was wondrous, and it all changed. And we are all left with the memories. Foof. However, there are other times when things are going along just fine and the results are very different. It all starts with the surrounding goodness of the Lord, goodness which even piles up. The experiences are great. The things in our lives are pleasant. The schedule, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes. Seemingly everything is just right. Much has been given, and to whom much has been given, much is required. The goodness of life, the kindness of others, the favor of the Lord, all present, and then things change drastically. Even more, and this gets a little bit closer to home, the Lord's word is given. His ears are still open. His patience is still astonishingly present. His mercies are new each morning. His grace is sufficient. So much has been given, and then due to neglect or our laziness or our raw assumption that things will just keep going as they are, then things change dramatically. Our passage is one in which great blessings have been given. They are present. The experiences are great. Yet with one more lazy step, one more day of neglect, we then find ourselves on the precipice of drastic and dramatic change. Things can be great and then worsen. Our passage today, the sermon is titled Greater Than, Worse Than. Our passage contains both. This passage is about greater than, and it mentions what could be worse than. Our passage, as with the whole of Scripture, is about Jesus and presents Jesus as greater than all that has gone before. Jesus is presented in Matthew chapter 12 as greater than the law, greater than the prophets, greater than the writings. I'd like to remind you, if you were to look back into Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, there's been this Sabbath controversy, something about time, something about the day, something about who's in charge and who's doing what is right on that day. The Sabbath controversy is going on. And Jesus says that, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. You want to talk about the temple? You want to talk about the law? You want to talk about what's required? I'm saying to you that one here is greater than the temple, greater than the law. In our passage of Scripture reading today for the sermon, in verse 41, there's this controversy over the signs. Teacher, show us a sign. And Jesus is twice going to say something is greater than. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation. They're going to stand up. This generation is going to stand up. But the men of Nineveh are going to stand up and they're going to condemn this generation. Why? Because the people of Nineveh repented when they heard the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is greater than the prophets. Then verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation. She too will stand up. She will rise up with this generation and condemn it. Why? Because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Greater than. Simply stated, the law, the prophets, and the writings. Jesus is greater than the law, he's greater than the prophets, he's greater than the writings, and that is a simple summary of the entire Old Testament. That is actually the structure of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets and the writings. Jesus is greater than them because all of those were pointing forward to him. Greater than. There's something amazing going on here. Jesus is present. He is present as the one who is greater than the priests of the law, the prophets who gave the word to every nation, and the kings who displayed their wisdom. Jesus is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament because he is the final high priest, he is the final prophet, he is the final king. There's something glorious going on here. He is present among those who claim to be all about the Scriptures. We're all about the law and the prophets and the writings. We're the scribes and we're the Pharisees. We're into our glory. We're into the covenants. We're into the promises. This is a great privilege. What happens, though? What happens? If you have that amazing privilege and you deny it or discard it, what happens if you have that privilege and you neglect it or reject it? What if, instead of being a witness to the glory and the sights and the wonder, you fall off the cliff? You say you are all about what the Scriptures are all about, and that you'll go where the Scriptures go. What happens then when you reject the one to whom the Scriptures direct you to go? Something worse will befall you. The Ninevites, they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and no one expected them to do so. They're going to stand up, and they're going to say, "We heard a prophet speak to us, and we listened, and we turned. You have the prophet, and you're not listening." The Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, she heard about King Solomon. She heard about his wisdom, and she said, "I have to find out for myself." 1 Kings 10, she travels from the ends of the earth. And her conclusion, what I heard, that's not even half the truth, it's even greater. Your wisdom is far greater than... The Queen of Sheba will rise up, and she's got something to say to a generation that rejects Jesus. She says, "You know what, I wasn't even of your law or prophets or writings, and I went and I listened and I saw and heard the wisdom. How come you're not listening?" The prophet was heard, the king was honored. So, what is to be expected if the one who is greater than is neglected or rejected? Especially by those who have the close encounters. The greatest benefits, the greatest privileges. What will happen if you reject the one who is greater than? Here's what will happen. Things will become worse than they were. Greater than, worse than. And this is why Jesus gives a parable. He shares an account of a spirit being present, and the spirit, the evil spirit, taking a trip, taking a road trip. Then returning with roommates. Jesus says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, finds none. Then this unclean spirit says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when this unclean spirit returns, you know what does he find? He finds the place empty. Nobody has taken up residence. The place is still available. He finds it swept and things put in order. What does he do then? Well, when he was out on the road, he met some others, just like yet worse than it. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And Jesus says, so it will be also with this wicked generation. Too much has been given, much is required. Great blessings, vast privileges. And what happens? The house gets cleaned up. We've been given these privileges, these blessings, and then all of a sudden there's a departing. The house gets cleaned up. It looks good. It is swept. It is tidy. The broken vase is thrown away. The old cans and the candy wrappers. Things are finally thrown away. The carpet is nasty. It's rolled up. The dirt, it's all swept up. Throw it away. Clean the place up. What an opportunity. Great privileges. Great opportunities. Abundant blessings. The place is cleaned up. We're doing pretty well. But because there's not an embrace of the one who is greater than, the situation becomes worse than. Oh, what about our privileges? What does this unclean spirit do? Seven others. Now, a full week and then some of unclean spirits. You thought it was bad before. It's going to get worse. Our epistle reading today references this as well. So we may think that Jesus is simply referring to those of his generation, the great privilege of those who had the covenants and the promises. But Simon Peter speaks to those after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. And he says, beware, watch out. There are some who are cleaned up a bit. And you know what they've done? They've kind of circled around the people of God. But they have forsaken the right way. And here's the slick, greasy bit of it. They're still circling around the people of God, but they have forsaken the right way. They have gone astray. Simon Peter actually says they followed the way of Balaam. We were listening to the prophet, but what did the prophet do? He gave advice as to how to make the people of God trip and stumble and fall. And he said, you know how I'm going to get them? The way of Balaam, the teaching of Balaam is sexual infidelity. Go ahead and dabble. You need to be progressive. You need to be right there on the edge. Come on, you're a child of God. But what did they do? They followed the way of Balaam, who did what? He loved the pay of unrighteousness. You know what? It looks good. Need a little bit more. Dabble, 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 close to the edge. These people are described as those who had avoided the pollution. They had escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. They had swept the house a tad. They had some kind of relationship to the Lord and His people. Maybe they were like those branches attached to the vine, somehow, some way, fruitless, cut off. Simon Peter says that the latter end for them is worse than the beginning, just like seven more demons, because privileges have been given and squandered. Blessings have been given, then ignored. What's it like? It's like an old proverb that we all know. It's not just a proverb in print, it's a proverb in your backyard. It's like a dog who goes back to the vomit. And it's one of those things where you don't want to look, but you, and you see it, and it's that disgusting. The sickness then embraced. The sickness then brought back in. It's like that proverb. It's like that printed and portrayed proverb that you see in the backyard. But it's more than that. It's like a pig, a sow. You can polish the pig. You can scrub the sow. Before too long, the muck is pursued again. Our passage is one that reminds us of the seriousness of neglecting our privileges, because it points to the wonder and the grace of our privileges. Our passage points out what has been given, and yet what can be neglected, and what makes things worse. To neglect Christ, who is greater than, and to pursue anything else, your situation, when you are there, will become worse than. So, simple reminders. Let us pay attention to the presence of God, for someone greater than the temple is here. The presence is here. Let's pay attention to the Word of God, because someone greater than the prophets is here. And let's pay attention to the wisdom of the Lord, because someone greater than Solomon is here. James 4:17, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, that's sin. What about the fruit of the Spirit? You know what? I'll get around to it someday. Got other things to do. I'm called to love and to joy and to peace and to patience and to kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. Someday. I've got things going on. I've got a very busy schedule. What about the Lord's Day? Because all that whole debate started on the day of the Lord. Hey, what's right? What's wrong? Someone greater than the temple is here. Why don't we use this day as a day to shape us for ongoing growing in obedience? What about the pursuit of humility instead of the clamor for public recognition? What about putting others first? What about giving preference to one another in honor? What about loving, joyous service? What about embracing Jesus Christ in all things? For he is greater than. Let us pray. Again, Lord, we ask that according to your kindness that you give us grace. May we not merely be hearers of your word, but may we be doers of your word. May we both admire and obey your teaching. May we profess and practice what you have called us to do. May we love and live your gospel. Grant us all of this for the honor of your name and the beautification of your church. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and amen.